The first Bible reading tonight comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with an angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
To me, joy to be here with you. I woke this morning in darkness. One of those hours that night lays thick over your whole house and there's a silence that any sound will break, and it was silent, apart from a little crash and a yelp when I stepped on one of my daughter's toys along the way, but, you know, forget that for a moment. And I woke up and I stumbled over to my usual armchair where I had my little Bible in a corner and a chance to greet the day in quiet with the Lord. And I realized as I was stumbling onwards that I was coming with this sense of faith that God would do it again. I've got a Bible. I can't read it without light. There's no light right where I'm sitting. I just have this sense that, okay, God, yesterday you made the sun rise again, and today you're going to do it too. And he did. There's a sense in which we trust that the Lord's going to still hold the world together every single day, every single morning, and we forget it and we take it for granted, whether he does it through the use of normal scientific outpourings of mechanisms and whatnot. This fact remains true. God holds it, brings it, and gives it to us. Now, I don't know the last time you enjoyed a sunrise. I recommend it, by the way, you know, even if you don't have kids that wake you up. There's a beauty when you're sitting there because it's less like an explosion, more like a flower, where there's this bud that starts to just slowly open. There's a ray that comes and breaks into the sky, and you're like, is this it? Is this when the light's coming? There's a moment where you don't actually see the sun. It's just on the lip of the horizon, but you feel its effects as it slowly grows. It grows until there's just this sense of joy as the world wakes up. Now, Scripture begins, funnily enough, in darkness. We wouldn't think about it like this. But the very beginning of all things, Genesis 1, verse 1, the first verse, in the beginning, God, you could say, when God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. It's kind of funny to think about a time before existence, isn't it? And obviously, it's just a picture, because if stuff doesn't exist, there's no water, there's no darkness. But the ancient way of thinking was, was there was this chaotic, formless void that was nothingness, a darkness deeper than the darkest place you've ever imagined. And we learned that in this place of nothingness, before there was ever anything, there actually was something. And it's the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. I love that. The word hovering, it's kind of like the Hebrew word for a bird fluttering its wings, kind of sitting over a nest, guarding its young, looking for all of the danger and all of the nourishment that they need. You have this sense in which the darkness is presiding, but God is present. And I think this is a word we need to hear and believe deeply. There is no place in existence where God is not there. To put it more bluntly, there is no darkness, no place of brokenness and pain, whether it's murder or whether it's distress. The breakdown of your mental health or the failure of those who love you. There is no place that God is not present and caring. He's not out there looking at the world in all of its mess. He's hovering near with the maternal love of one who is invested deeply. Because in this place of nearness, we get the first words that God ever speaks in the Bible, verse 3. And he says, "Let there be light." Come on. Let there be light. It's so familiar that you kind of just let it roll past you. But from nothingness, God speaks light. And it's poetic and it's nice, but it's really actually quite profound. We hear in 1 John, a New Testament book, chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message we proclaim to you. In him, there is no darkness, only light. Difficult one to wrestle with when our experience is often full of darkness, brokenness, pain. And yet that is counter to who God is in his very being. It's a wrestle we need to enter into, not one that we should fear or feel pain for. Because God is not a God who remains aloof and distant. Even when darkness is at its worst, God is there. And I wonder if we're a little bit afraid of the dark. I mean, I got three little kids, and it drives me nuts having lights on in the house at night. I'm like, man, just let me go to sleep. They love to have the light on. They're afraid of the dark. I think there's a sense in which we're all afraid of the dark to some extent. Have you ever walked through the city at night? It looks a bit like this. There's a picture. 2 a.m., you can find a kebab shop on every corner, and the place is just glowing. Like, it's obviously still dark, right? But there's a sense in which you can see everything a mile away because the place has got lights everywhere. Now, there's a sense in which that's a bit of a metaphor for the way that we come to the world. We have this fear of the darkness that truly lies in the world, and we foster our little LEDs and our lamps, and we construct our towers to do everything we can to cast the darkness out. It works for a while, until it doesn't. Until tragedy strikes. Until 15 people are dead and dozens are injured. Are we courageous enough to confront the truth? That this place is broken. I wonder if there's a sense in which we could keep the illusion going when all the darkness was out there. Now, it's not a nice thing to say, but people get shot up all the time. In Nigeria, Christians are being killed in churches. All over the world, people are being murdered and beheaded, and it's an awful, awful truth. If we actually consumed all of that, it would do a lot of detriment to us. But when we realize that's happening, it still shocks us, but we move on. What is it about Bondi that's kind of left us reeling a little bit? I think a few things, but for me, one is to realize, oh, the darkness isn't just out there, it's in here. Can happen anywhere, and it's the people that I'm rubbing shoulders with. It's the places that I walk. It's the life that I live, not just those people that I've never met in that place that's really not a nice place. Now, I have a hero if you heard me preach before, I usually mention him, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's a German pastor from the Second World War, was sort of the period in which he was famous for, because he was in Nazi Germany in the thick of the darkness. He left for a while and actually came back and immersed himself back in that place because he wanted to give himself to the cause of light, to bring life to those in need. He gave himself unswervingly to ending what was, if you know anything about history, gruesome, awful acts of cruelty and diminishing humanity. It's awful. What I find captivating about a man like Bonhoeffer is he sees up close the darkness. In fact, he got murdered in a concentration camp. After the war was already won, they killed him. But when he spoke about the darkness, he was more likely to speak about his own heart than he was to speak about anything else. He wrote, "In me there is darkness, but with you there is light. I am lonely, but you do not leave me. I am feeble in heart, but with you there is help. I am restless, but with you there is peace. In me there is bitterness, but with you there is patience." I wonder if we're afraid so much of the dark out there because to confront it would reveal some of the darkness in you. Now, let's be clear. That's not the darkness of extremism and murder. That's what darkness looks like left unchecked, to consume the human soul and to brainwash in a way in so many things. But frankly, it is concerning how prevalent the way this kind of stuff pops up in the world, isn't it? Not just extremism, but deep selfishness. Poverty striking a huge portion of the world for so many years with so much money at our disposal to do something about it. And yet it continues because there's a problem in the human heart. Now, I don't know if you have heard of this. It's the Stanford Prison Experiment. Anyone? If you did, yeah, a couple of nods. If you did Psych 101, it comes up. It's famous, and it's becoming famous again because there's a documentary that's come out on Disney. Very interesting. Not suggesting you should watch it. Very interesting. 1971, a bunch of college-aged men. They interviewed hundreds, boiled it down to 25 of the most average people, the most ordinary, no-nonsense problems, things that could jeopardize the experiment. They grabbed hold of them, gave them $15 a day for 2 weeks. $15 a day? And they put them in this fabricated prison. Half of them were guards, half of them were prisoners, but they were all just ordinary people. Within a day, the guards have got their nightsticks and they're beating them up. They're making them do push-ups. Day two, they've stripped one dude naked and they've made him chain himself to his bed. And it's disturbing in a way how quickly these people, who otherwise are just normal people, suddenly fit into this condition that they've been given just because the circumstances have been orchestrated in the right way. The prisoners even start to believe the way that they've been dehumanized. They're not allowed to be called by their names. They get called by a number, and they start to lose this sense of self and care for them. It's incredibly powerful to watch. Maybe on a different week. It's a big week. But I just can't help realizing how illustrative that is for just the human heart. I mean, one question is like, how the heck did this get through ethics, you know? It wouldn't fly these days, but 1971, it's like the Wild West. The other part of me goes, like, does it surprise you? A little, but not really. I wonder if we would move through a place of pain and tragedy like we've experienced in a way that's healing and restorative, is not just to cast the darkness into another out there, but to see the world for what it is. Isaiah 9, verse 2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Before you can see the light, you got to realize the darkness. It lies over the land deeply, and here it is. Now, I wonder if we need to heed C.S. Lewis. He wrote about the difference between worldly peace and true peace. He wrote, "The only reason people experience any peace at all is because God in his mercy allows it. Every calm breath, every moment of joy, every sense of stability is borrowed grace." But don't confuse that with true peace. Worldly peace is temporary, circumstantial, fragile. It depends on health, money, distraction, or control. It fades the moment suffering arrives or death comes into view. That kind of peace cannot stand when the night gets long and the soul is forced to be honest. True peace is found only in Christ. It is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of truth. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." This peace fulfills because it reconciles us to our Creator, anchors us beyond death, and satisfies the soul in a way the world can never reach. Everything else is borrowed comfort. Let's leave behind the borrowed comfort, the striving and hoping that things might get better. Let's embrace true peace, which is Jesus, the light of the world. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they call them the synoptic gospels because they often have the same stories and present them in similar ways. They all approach the birth of Jesus from the lens of, you know, manger, stables, you know, dirty, grimy birth of the Savior, right? John's gospel, I think, is the best gospel. You know, you can fight with me later if you like something else. But John's gospel does the opposite. It peels back the curtain before Jesus is born and gives you a glimpse of who is coming into this place. And it's John chapter 1, verse 1. It begins by saying, "In the beginning," I mean, we're coming back to Genesis, "was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." We're in the season of Advent. We've got these candles because each week is a moment where we light and see the flame of one we are hoping for. Advent is about waiting. It's not about sitting in the doctor's room kind of waiting. It's the agonizing kind of waiting for things to finally be right again, for the world to be dealt with in all of its mess. And we sit here in this place because we believe that Jesus is the light of the world. Christmas, he enters into the world. Oh, baby Jesus in a manger. Advent, where is he? Have you ever cried out to God like that? What are you doing? Come back to Isaiah. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Light dawns in the person of Jesus. If he's the Word, Genesis is sitting there right in John's eyes, and he says, "Look at God speaking, let there be light." Jesus is the very Word, the creative power of the divine. He is the "let there be light." That instead of sitting back with God in his, you know, heavenly throne, just throwing light at the darkness from a distance, hoping it'll stick, instead he chooses to step into the place of darkness, he who is light himself, and illuminate it from the inside. And illuminate it by experiencing the darkness. In a way, allowing the darkness to cover him, to hold him down and break him apart. Because the point being, God cares deeply about you. And he deals with darkness in a way that is decisive, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but he deals with it in a way that chooses to take you and your darkness into himself. That in his light you might shine, and that in his life he might die. Whenever we cry out, "God, where are you?" I can't help but go, I still have the question, why aren't you here right now, Lord? But I've seen what you've done. I know that you care. And I know that you'll come again. It's in the most beautiful and painful place where the light of the world gets lifted up high to shine. It's starting to get dark, but it's the point of just being lifted up upon a cross, isn't it? Enthroned, in a way. He's got the crown of thorns marking his head. High for all to see in mockery. And he's killed brutally. He knows the darkness, the Spirit of God hovering over it, the Son of God bearing it on his body. And it's on the cross that the darkness wins, doesn't it? And I think we get so comfortable and familiar with the gospel that we got to really feel this. The darkness destroys him. He's an extinguished light. If you're a disciple on that day, you're like, oh man, I picked the wrong dude. This is not going well for me. Except for with his last breath, he says, it is finished. It's one word in Greek. I love it. It's like just this breath escaping him, tetelestai. He dies. But in the place of darkness, that moment before the dawn, me sitting in my armchair, the light begins to dawn. John 20, verse 1. Again, John's awesome. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. It's already dark, but the light of the world has escaped. It's like he set himself up on the horizon, rising to cast his light upon this world in a way that it'll never be the same again. The resurrection changes everything. And we find ourselves in this place of Advent because carrying our darkness in himself, rising to new life, he will come again with blazing glory to banish the darkness forever. We know that, we believe that. Will we embrace that? Will we welcome that? Jesus knows you, loves you, cares for you, and one day he's coming back for you. He's going to take that place of just awfulness that is currently just sitting in your life. He's going to meet you in the place of broken relationships, financial pain, of dashed hopes and dreams, of friendships and relationships in your family that are just toxic and poisonous. He's going to meet you in the place of your trauma, those visceral reactions where you're just taken over by the darkness that happened in your past. He's going to meet you in all of the mess. Not one thing will be missed, not one thing will be forgotten, and he will lift your eyes and look upon you and tell you that it is finished. He will lift you and carry you in his arms of love. He will wipe the tears from your face, and he will restore everything, you, me, the entirety of this world. And it'll never be the same again. The sun is dawning. Will we look to the horizon? There's a beautiful prayer in the prayer book. I'll finish with this. It says, may we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. It's as if Jesus has come so near to us and filled us with himself that we start to shine too if we're willing to walk and live in his way. Will we be those people? Will we walk forth into the darkness with love in our hearts, with Jesus in our sights, and with a sense of purpose and conviction that this is not the end and that God will lift all the downtrodden and restore all of the brokenness? Will we welcome Jesus into our lives, not just for our own sake that we might have peace, but because he is coming again and history will be wrapped up, summed up, and finding every answer into him? I invite the band up. I want to give you 30 seconds of quiet to consider Jesus, the light of the world, before we sing our next hymn. Jesus, we turn to you with what little faith we can muster to trust that you will return and you will take hold of this brokenness we see and this brokenness that we feel. You came full of love. You gave yourself completely in love, and you will return in love. We welcome you now, Lord, into our nation full of darkness, into our own lives and what that looks like. We trust you, even as it may not look like the blazing sun. We trust the glimmers that we can see. And we look to you coming again, Lord. Thank you that you care. Help us to see you, to believe you, and to follow you. Amen.